If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the one cosmic beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. Our seminar topic this evening is, we're cosmic actors, one and all. So let's take a deep breath and set the energy for this evening by breathing yourself into yourself, using your breath, connecting with your divine self, and take another breath, and just intend the integration of your soul and your spirit, your I Am presence, with your physical personality. See them wedded as one. See yourself completely embracing the higher purpose of your divinity and your manifestation as the light and love made visible upon earth this time. And let's petition this evening that if it would be for our highest and best good, that healing could be placed with us this evening. And let's just pray that together. Father, Mother, God, we ask at this time for the clearance for every person listening to this transmission. And we call forward the Master Jesus, the Healer of Healers, and those that work through the Office of the Christ and the Order of Melchizedek. And we ask at this time, keeping in mind the individual soul contracts of each person listening and what would be for their best and highest good at this particular moment, that whatever healing of memories that could be given through grace, imparted through loving grace, whatever phobias or deep-seated traumas could be healed at this time in a very gentle, non-inflictive way, if they could simply be covered, ameliorated, lifted, and somehow those that are feeling and experiencing these things, if they could experience a greater degree of relief, we would be very grateful. We ask this in perfect love and perfect acceptance and perfect understanding that your will, Father, is always supreme and is always working in each of our lives according to our ability to receive and what we would like as souls to experience. And so we surrender this evening, Lord, to you, and for your ministry to work with us at this time and help us to bypass all of our hesitations, our fears, our doubts, our questioning, and move our awareness into the beatitude and blessed state of knowing our oneness with God, of knowing that we remain eternally as God created us in perfect wholeness, holiness, and peace. And that only within the place of consciousness have we seemed to depart in any way from that state. And we know that we shall awaken and find that we have never left home, that we remain still within the ever-unfolding divine creation of which we are also co-participants. And so, let's settle into this subject tonight. I've just finished 8 days of gazing with the beautiful Croatian little brother, Braco, who simply looks into the camera with the gaze of absolute heavenly unconditional love. And it was broadcast and live streamed from the beautiful Hawaiian island, the big island of Kona, which they call the baby Earth. Why? Because the big island is part of that volcano known as Pele that keeps creating more island. She erupts, the lava flows into the ocean, it hardens and comes up and becomes new land. So it's a very interesting tapestry upon which to live, because at any moment your house could be carried away and become part of that next outcropping of a baby new earth. But be it as it may, it's interesting to realize that out of this, what would seem like absolute destruction and chaos, a truly new part of Earth is being birthed. A baby Earth, truly a baby Earth. And in a like manner, we're right in that process of birthing now into a completely different way of seeing. We're having our inner vision adjusted. And when that adjustment is complete, we will not see things in the way we have before. The inner consciousness itself will shift into a new spiral of awareness. And with that, we will behold all things new. But in the meantime, there are residuals stuck in the crevices of our subconscious mind that keeps showing us pictures of unfinished business. Unfinished business is anything that you have unpleasant energy towards or about. It's not the issue, it's the energy that you have on the issue that forms the block. And this negative energy on any issue needs to now be surrendered to love. You need to give it over in exchange for the peace of God. It's an easy exchange. This is not a difficult process. You don't have to do anything but exchange one position and point of view for one that will serve you better. So this evening we're going to look at ways that you can read your own Akashic record. Now, this is not necessary, of course, unless you are guided to do so. But I think it will be interesting for those of you that are perhaps seers and clairvoyants and readers. And the secret to all seership is to have the courage to look, and look deeply. Because if you look with the eyes of your soul, with the intention of your heart for greater clarity and revelation, I absolutely guarantee and promise you that you will be shown what you need to know to take your next step. You cannot possibly really ask to see and to know that you will be denied. This is such a pure request, and it is always acknowledged. You may not be ready for the full revelation, so you'll have to trust that what is revealed is what you can handle. You also need to trust that what isn't being revealed to you, you don't need to know. So don't go poking around in areas that you do not have divine permission to explore in. Who gives you divine permission? Your own higher self. Your higher self is that which stands as a guardian, and one that assures and supervises the unfolding of your soul's pattern, whatever the pattern is that you are to enact in this particular life episode or life drama. Your high self translates your soul's program down to your personality in an archetype, a presentation, a way that kind of lets you know your function in this particular episode that you call your present incarnation. For example, I have a high self that stands to me, according to my teacher, John Roger, as the goddess Isis. Why Isis? Isis is the hierophantess, if you will, hierophant, of the teachings of light that represent a whole lineage of consciousness. But it would also include the Nefertiti lineage. It would manifest as many different lineages. But the bottom line here is the one that stands forward as a teacher of light. Many of you also have the Hierophant or the High Priestess that stands to you as your archetype. You may have a different one. I think you've already probably recognized what yours is. It could be the Hermit, it could be any one of a number of archetypes, but you'll find that kind of presentation in your personality and what you ultimately find yourself doing in the world. I found it interesting and a revelation in a sense as I came off the gazing today with Brazzo, and I was filled with this incredible beauty of the Hawaiian islands and the music that was played and the fragrance of the flowers that you could almost smell from the television or the computer screen, and the beauty of the peace of the international community that joins together for these live streams. We're getting so we know each other, and you know, almost every country you can imagine is represented, and we all gather around to participate in this live streaming. People are being healed on all different levels just by watching this beautiful little brother gaze with the love and the light of heaven through the computer screen to each one of us. And he will be coming to many, many of your cities also, and you'll be able perhaps to see him in your given locality. But you come out of that, and then you realize that at the moment that we were in divine bliss, other people are in absolute devastation and chaos. And it's one of the strange and interesting manifestations that within our lifetimes, within this play of duality, we're constantly switching back and forth within the dance of good guy, bad guy, victim and victimizer, saint and sinner, for and against, pro and con, male, female. You know, we're all dancing back and forth in this role play. And you know, I thought also that we're like cells in this one universal body of life. And just as the cells in our body, each cell of which contains holographically the totality within the microcosm, the macrocosm is reflected in the microcosm of each cell. Also within that body, there are cells that are being born, cells that are dying, cells that are dead and being sloughed off, and others that are coming in and replacing, some that are regenerating. Within your own body, as we speak, there's this constant process of birth and death, regeneration, renewal. It goes on continually until it's said that within every 7 years, we have a completely new body from head to toe and inside and out. So, likewise, we as souls are all cells within the body of God. That's why we live and move and have our being in God, and there's no way we can get lost or separated from God. The only one that believes in any form of separation is that fictional character that appeared when we imagine we separated from God. And that's just a little thought form. We call it the thought form of fear that projected a separate world. And that is the part of us that is being, let's say, removed, healed, erased, in the love of God as we pass through this dimensional shift. So that is something that we've needed divine intervention and assistance to remove, because we keep seeing through the eyes of separation, and it's something that we actually can't get at to fix ourselves It takes a divine spirit working in us and through us. So everyone's high self at this point is guiding us in some way towards self-healing and self-confrontation. Self-confrontation, beloveds, is any confrontation that you have with another person. There's only one here. We're part of that one. So everyone that appears in your life is part of your healing. You know what there is to be healed by what comes up in that relationship. What comes up in that relationship is going to be what you need to work with to resolve in some manner to where you're on the same page of unconditional love. It doesn't require the agreement of the other person. It's totally an interior shift in your own consciousness that may or may not be reflected in that person that you're dealing with. They have to, you know, handle their own reaction, their own areas where they're having issues, and you need to handle your own. So you don't have to have that mutual agreement at this level, at this form level. But no one heals alone. No one advances alone. No one ascends alone. No one does anything that benefits themselves individually in terms of their awakening that it doesn't spread and benefit everyone. That's why the Brazo gazings are so amazing, because people all over the world are being healed and brought into a place of amazing inner transformation. You know, there's so many testimonies of the healings now that it goes beyond anything anyone can understand. Just know that there is a presence of such unconditional love on the planet that people are being made happier and benefited in countless ways just through this simple gift that is flowing through this young Croatian man that is so aptly called Bratso, which means little brother in Croatian. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you because I'm filled with that energy of the gaze tonight and the peace that has come from that gaze, and I'm happy to have that shared through me tonight as we work. So we're cosmic actors. We're all souls participating in these various interactive arenas and play-acting various roles within these alternating scenarios. And, you know, I was thinking about Shakespeare, where he said in one of his plays, "The world is a stage, and we are but actors, strutting our time upon the stage, and then to depart, to be heard from no longer." And so, I was reminded, too, when I was, gosh, I was really young, maybe 6 or 7 years old, maybe even younger, I used to feel like I was play-acting. I used to sometimes feel like I was the only real person and that everything else was like a stage, like props and a stage. I don't know where a child would have such a point of view other than the fact that I came in awake in this lifetime. And this could be a lead through of yogic states of consciousness that I had attained in my previous lifetimes. But I wondered if any of you had had that feeling where it's not like deja vu. You just sort of it's like you're watching yourself and you know you're enacting a role and you know that you're not the role. It's a very clear memory that stayed in my mind my whole life. So you might want to just ask yourself that and reflect back. Have you ever had a chance to catch yourself as if you were observing yourself and realizing that you were simply enacting a role? I remembered as a child that I felt like I was here to enact a role of how people were to be, how they were to. I didn't have the words at the time, but basically how they were to walk through life and be awake and aware that they were one with God. And so anyway, I said I was going to teach you how to read your own Akashic Records. So if you're ready to do that, again, ask for the light of the Christ to fill, surround, and protect you, and that only that will be shown to you that would be useful for you at this time, and nothing that would not be useful for you at this time. And if you've done that, just imagine, if you will, an enormously large building. It's an airplane hangar, one of those really big ones, large enough to house a blimp or a 747 airplane. And imagine in that ginormous building that it's really your personal walk-in closet. And you might like to walk into that building now, imagining it's your walk-in closet. And observe that there are countless tiers of row after row after row of hanging garments. And yes, they all belong to you. Along with the garments, there's also hats and footwear and various accessories, even wigs. And you'll note that the various historical periods and cultures are all represented in this apparel. I want you to go now and have a look and select the very first garment that catches your attention. Yes, that one. Bring it out and have a look. What drew your attention to this particular costume? What period of time or culture does it represent? And if you can recall, what was happening in the world at that time in history? Your selection, though it may seem to have been without much thought and at random, was not at all happenstance. Some level of your consciousness knows exactly why you were drawn to that particular garment and why. Nope, you don't have to change it. The one you picked is the right one. Now you have to trust that inner knower, because the mind is going to say, no, I don't want that one. I want it. No, no, the one you picked is the right one. And in fact, the one you pick, whenever you pick anything, is always the right one for that time and that place and that lesson. But for now, just to make a mental note of your selection. And later, you know, when you have some time, you can really focus entirely upon that. You may like to journal what message your selected garment and time period has to convey to you. Okay, what does all of this mean? The hanger is your own record archive of previous lifetimes. And we've just given you a very simple way to access and read your own Akashic records. You alone can unravel and decode your own mystery. And you have every right to do so. But you need to make that effort to look, not just to depend on others to do readings for you. I'm probably, oh gosh, I've done thousands and thousands and thousands of readings for people. And I've always had a gift of being able to look in the third eye and be shown things that pertain to people's lifetimes and where they've come from in the cosmos and so forth. And I did that for many, many years, maybe some 30 or more years. And then at one point it was like, I'm not supposed to do that anymore. I'm supposed to teach people how to do their own readings and decode their own star lineages or whatever else you want to look at. Remember that if it's an existence in the phenomenal worlds within the lower universes, it's a temporary role play. It's not really who you are. It's one of the many roles that you've been enacting, whether it's a space commander or whoever, it doesn't matter. It's one of those functional realities in some level of time-space that serves you for a limited period of time, but it's not the absolute, unchanging reality which you share forever as part of God, as God, actually as God. When everything else falls away, you will ultimately realize that there's only one in all of existence, and that is God, and that is who you are. Not as an amorphous mass, but as a God-conscious, fully God-conscious being. And there again, we won't talk anymore about it because we don't know anymore about it. Just knowing that that's the ultimate goal of which we are all striving to awaken. So, there is a part of you right now that wants to reveal whatever it is that you need to release and surrender to love in order to have the world of chaos and darkness and pain dissolve from your awareness. In other words, you can move in your inner consciousness to a level of consciousness in which the world for you ceases to exist. This is not denial. In fact, I've actually been living in that state for some time. And how it happened for me, well, it's happened over many decades of meditation and working on myself and clearing and doing all that stuff and visiting avatars and being with Sai Baba for years and many, many, many wonderful things, being a student of John Roger for many years. But there again, you don't know where you are in the spiritual path. Only God knows. Some of you are like myself in the very last lifetime. Some of you have a few more to go. Some of you are just dropping in. You've already completed the process of ascension in another realm or world, and you're dropping in to be of service, so don't get trapped here. There's just all kinds of levels of consciousness, and we all get to do exactly what we want to do. There's no have-tos. There's no shoulds. We are here as perfect spiritual beings opting to experience an imperfect human life. Why would we do that? Because we're curious. We know what perfection is like. We know what peace is like. We know what heaven is like. But the one thing we didn't know is what it's like to be in a world where you suffer, have pain, and get old and die and do all of these interesting things which are so foreign to our true nature as a divine immortal being. So you have to appreciate at some point, at least when you get high enough, you can appreciate the fact that this is, you know, it's Adventureville. We're in Disneyland. We're having an adventure, an uncommon experience of unreality because we're curious, basically. You know, that the nature of the soul is Sat Chit Ananda. Sat is the knowing of your eternal existence. Chitta is that inquisitive nature that we always have that we want to know more. It's part of our nature. We can't help it. It's the godness within us ever expanding to what's next. And then Ananda is that state of equanimity and absolute quiescent peace where you can walk through the polarities, the pairs of polarities and the pairs of opposites in time and space, and nothing phases you because you know who you are. You know you're one with God. You know you're immortal. So the things that appear in the phenomenal universe, it's just, you know, you look at it and you understand that it's a phenomenal passing manifest of thought and energy. And you don't entrain and identify with it, get trapped in it. That's the trick, is to learn to have Vairagya, or you have that divine, dispassionate, impersonal ability to observe all things and let things be, and you just keep your eyes on the Lord. You keep your eyes on the Beloved, which is to say you keep remembering who you are and what you are forever. So as you move through your inner seership, people see different ways. One of the ways people see is looking in the third eye and receiving importance. This exercise I just gave you is actually where you mock up a reality and move into it. You can use this if you're good at visualizing. Not everyone is particularly fond of that approach. Some people sense. They just sense things and they get an instant knowing about things. Other people see like a ticker tape or like have described it as like looking at a person and seeing their past lives fan around them like a deck of cards, and they just read the pictures that they're seeing. Other people, when they receive information, they'll see like a ticker tape or like a crawl message, like on the bottom of your TV, where you'll see a crawl message, and it will give the information. I personally have never had those two experiences, but my teacher, John Roger, has described having those experiences, so that's why I share them. Now, with me, when I look in my third eye, sometimes I will see a symbol, and then I have to interpret the symbol. And sometimes I'll see a whole scenario unfold. I'll see the descent of a soul through all the different dimensional levels and the various things that they've done in their service to God. Usually I see what people do in their service to God. I don't see the karma. I don't see the negative stuff. That has not been part of my mission. I do see the divine and the divine imprint on a soul, on a person. And so I hold that as a steady vision for you and can also encourage you as you move through those other things if that's part of your seership. But know if it's not love, if it's not beautiful, if it's not eternal, it's not real. It's a passing phenomena. So it's wise to know that so that you don't make a big deal out of unpleasant things when they come up, whether they're inward, in dreams, or you see them outwardly. It's a scenario of consciousness training, an arena where consciousness interactives, much like a virtual reality game. That's all that's happening down here. We're in a big virtual reality interactive, but each one has their own headsets on, and they're having their own feedback from their own consciousness programming and what they as a soul want to see in their video game. But learn detachment, beloved, from things that are phenomenal and passing. And remind yourself when things are awful, which sometimes they are in the dream, that this too shall pass. This too shall pass. That all things move and change in time and space. And ultimately, you've never left the heart of God. You will awaken and find that devastation never really happened. You will awaken and find that no one really died. No one was injured. No one was destroyed. That which is eternally yours is eternally yours. You can't lose love. You can't lose that which comes as part and parcel of your own divine wholeness. Remind yourself again and again as we pass through the events that as things clear on the outer world, are going to outpicture as catastrophic. There's going to be things that are like combustions of unresolved energy that come up for clearance, and they look like all kinds of things. But just know that these are souls working out the last dredges of their own personal agendas, and the people that are drawn into those scenarios have an agreement at some level to participate with those particular scenarios. So no one's a victim. No one ever has anything happen to them on any level that they have not agreed to. And at a higher level, which knows when it makes that agreement, that it's just a play of consciousness. The only problem is we forget that when we get down on the human level. We forget that we have chosen, allowed, promoted, and requested everything that's happening and present in our lives. And to a soul that knows it's immortal, there's no game that, you know, it's unwilling to participate in because it realizes that it's just a play of consciousness and they're not actually going to be touched. But just like when you're in a really scary movie, well, let's take hypnotism, for example. Somebody could put an ice cube in the palm of your hand and tell you that it was a hot coal, and it would burn a hole right through your hand. Likewise, a person could put a hot coal in your hand, tell you that it was an ice cube, and that it was cold, and you wouldn't be burned. That's how powerful your consciousness is. If you've ever done muscle testing, you know that the minute that you make a negative statement about your health or your strength, that your body will immediately outpicture that condition, and it can be measured. It can be measured actually in biofeedback mechanisms that they have developed at the Heart Math Institute. I thought it was really interesting. They had a bowl of, in a petri dish, they had a petri dish of active yogurt, you know, yogurt with the microorganisms in it. And they had it hooked to a man who was simply thinking about calling his lawyer, which was a very stressful thing for him. He didn't really want to do it. And it caused a reaction in the yogurt. The yogurt immediately registered the stress and distress level of this man. Of course, it's done many, many experiments with plants. Same thing. Your plants and your animals can read your energy, and they react accordingly. We all know that our children get particularly cantankerous and throw all sorts of emotional demands on us when we're out of balance. If we're happy and centered, the dogs are happy, the cats are happy. Well, cats don't care anyway, but the dogs are happy, the kids are happy, everybody's happy. But if you're out of your bliss, if you're in an unbalanced state, sure enough, everything in your environment is going to act out in some way, distress, because everything in the universe wants to return to harmonic resonance, everything. And so those of us who are light workers, when we move through the environment, we're very sensitive to unbalanced energy. I know in my case, I'm always, and it's at an unconscious level, I'm always seeking to bring harmony wherever I am. And I will take responsibility or charge of the energy field in a restaurant or wherever I am, and my energy will flow out and find that harmonic cord and hold it steady. And it's amazing, you know, you just create your own portable paradise, your own harmonic cord wherever you go, and you become a spreading mantle, an aura of peace. And that's an acquired and learned ability. And it's also part of your seership, because you see and you use all of your senses when you are looking into the higher dimensional levels. You use your senses, which would be, in this case, feeling. You're sensing the vibrations and whether or not things are in balance and harmony. Or you sense people who may be needing healing. You know, sometimes healers will feel discomfort, you know, in the place that corresponds with their client's discomfort. And they know where to work on them to bring clearing. There's all sorts of ways that your divine mechanism will give you feedback and information, and it will use all of the senses, sight, smell, touch, healing. In fact, a friend and I were talking about the other day that different states of consciousness can be registered as tastes in your mouth. And when you're clearing karma, you'll notice sometimes that your tongue gets thick. It'll feel thick and like you want to brush your teeth. That's when you're picking up karma in your mouth and tongue, and you need to go and brush your teeth really good and brush your tongue, and that will help clear that karma. Sometimes if you're working as a counselor or working with a lot of people, you'll need to brush your teeth several times a day or after each client. Also, you'll feel kind of like a thick energy around your face, and your eyes sometimes will begin to burn and feel, again, you'll feel like a sheen of some sort of heaviness over your eyes. You go and you wash your face. Maybe you use some clearing eye drops, and you brush your teeth, and you'll feel just so much better. Another thing I've noticed is that if I wear open shoes or go barefoot, I will pick up the karma from the carpets or the, walking on the street. So I do better if I wear boots or closed shoes now. when I go out. How do you know you picked up karma? Your feet begin to feel heavy and sometimes they'll swell, sometimes they'll hurt. Notice, become sensitive to how you're feeling as you work with people, as you do these different things, because your whole body is one great feedback mechanism that is constantly relaying data to you. It's a data perceptor for your soul, okay? So let it be that little, what do they call a little robot in Star Trek? I forget. But anyway, you catch my drift here. See your body as a little data perceptor robot that's moving about the environment, giving you constant feedback so that you as a divine being, as a soul, can know how to minister and how to keep clear in the process. Again, you always do your work with the light. You place the light with your client, with yourself, with the outcome. You ask that any karma that's released not clear through your body but be taken and cleared through the higher consciousness, through grace, through Christ. The best is to work with Christ, the office of Christ, and allow grace to heal. Grace means you bypass karma. It's like a detour around having to work through the karma. You can ask for grace. Grace entered with the advent of the Lord Jesus, and it's available now so that you don't have to work through every little tiny bit of your karma. So much of it, once you've learned your lesson, can just be completely dissolved and erased from your record. And that's forward and backward in time. In fact, salvation, part of salvation, when you really receive salvation through Christ, you can step free of the whole thing in a nanosecond. You can completely step free. But you have to let go. You have to give it to Him and not jerk it back. Most people get saved, they get delivered, and then they go back into the same patterns again. And it's a gradual process of bringing their mind and their consciousness up to that Christ level to where they can walk in that higher level of grace. But not everybody goes through that. Some people have the wit to just let it go, and they're totally born again into a totally different state of being. I've seen it many, many, many times. So I know it's possible. In my case, I've had so many belief systems ingrained into this consciousness that I've had to contend with old belief systems that I bought into regarding karma and working through karma, reincarnation, and taking on people's karma and all that sort of thing. So I think I'm probably speaking to a lot of people that, like myself, are a mixture of many different conditioned belief systems and patterns and things. So I share a little bit of all different approaches so that everybody can find a place to tuck in. But if you can realize that in highest truth you've never left the heart of God, that you've never sinned, you've never fallen, you've never done any of the things that you believe that you've done that has been sinful or against God, if you could realize that God does not see sin, God being perfect love only behold you as the Christ, as the uniquely begotten only son, daughter of his, her own love. So if you can move yourself just to that love and let everything else go as an illusion, you can step free. There's no process whatsoever. Everything in spirit is here and now, here and now, here and now. And you don't have to postpone heaven. Can be in heaven right now. You just need to have the wit to move your awareness there and let hell go. You know, let it go bye-bye. Because that's self-guilt and indictment that you hold yourself to. That's the hell. And so just accept your forgiveness and your perfection. And the word of Christ and enlightened beings like Sai Baba, who can see and know who you are. They can see that you are only love, and just be only love. So, let's see, what else can I share about seership? As I said, sometimes you'll find your own gift. My gift is to see the divine in people and to see their mission, how God is supposed to, or not supposed to, but how God is has designed that instrument to manifest, you know, the gift that has come to manifest to that particular instrument. But again, don't get attached to anything because it's all role play. Everything is temporary in these lower realms except who you are forever. Every other thing is a temporary role that you will let go at some point and replace with another, either through dropping this particular outer costume that you call your body and adopting a new one in another life, or sometimes just having many lifetimes like I have had in one life where you keep changing your costume and putting on another. Sometimes you change your names too. This is called being a walkout, a walk-in, a future self-integration, soul braiding, whatever you want to call it. There's all these names. Doesn't matter. When you have a change of consciousness, sometimes you'll change your name and your outer, where you live and how, and your outer employment. Sometimes all of that will change. And several times, sometimes within one lifetime. And that's another way that souls work through karma. And work through, let's say, issues. So, again, look through your life and find out where you have strong, strong attachments and strong aversions. The things that appeal to you, the things that really upset you and get you going, those are areas that you have unfinished energy that needs to be resolved. It always points to a place, time, event that you have been a participant in some way. And it's very interesting when you look at the records, when you read Akashic records, and sometimes you will actually go up to a place, there's several repositories actually of the records, you'll go up to the level that's appropriate for that record. You can actually walk into what looks like an archive and pull the records, your own records. You always have access to them. And if you're anointed to be a reader, an Akashic reader, you can then, you know, you're given permission to pull the records for other people if you want to help them. Not to snoop, but to serve. And when you do that, sometimes you can actually open them like regular records and read them. I have found personally that when I read the records, and I used to read 7 or 8 different levels of records, they would open up as living pictures. And I would actually step into the scenarios mentally and see them enacted. And that's how I would, quote, read the records. So play around with your own seership. Find out if you hear inwardly. When you hear inwardly, it's like a stream of thought flows through your mind. You don't really hear it. It's like a stream of awareness just occurs to you, and you write it down. I think a lot of people that write receive in that manner. I know I do. I write, and I also do these radio transmissions in that manner. It's just a stream. I connect into the stream, and it just flows through me. I don't have to think about a thing. It just flows. Same thing with the writing. That's another way of seership. So you can see through the hearing. You can see through your feeling. You can see through your sensing. Or you can actually see through your inner vision where, like I described, you see images or pictures or symbols that you then interpret. There's all different ways. God is not a Johnny one note. God is infinitely creative and knows exactly how to manifest through each one of you as the instruments of the divine. So, it is your job and task, if you're interested, to decode your own mystery. Now, I'm not saying you have to. Some of you may not want to know anything about your past. I've never been particularly interested in knowing anything about my past, because for one thing, one life is enough to worry about without having to bear the burden of trying to figure out why you did what you did 20,000 years ago, if you know what I mean. So just know that you are a spiritual being having a human experience, and actually a spiritual being that has had or will have had all human states and experiences. Why is that? Because the very hallmark of human development is to develop empathy and compassion for all sentient beings and conditions in life. So as pure and perfect spirit, soul needed to experience duality and relationships to develop that compassion and that empathy. You really can't understand another person until you've actually been in their position. So every soul is a cosmic actor who enacts every possible role and type of character. For this is part of the necessary training to become a Christed one. And a Christed one is a soul that has attained that selfless, pure, unconditional love for all. And to qualify as a Christed one, each must be willing to love and serve all life, regardless of race, creed, color, circumstance, situation, or environment, or to live for the benefiting of others. Now, just as the Master Jesus, who shall forever symbolize perfect selfless love. So that is one of the things that we commit to when we stand before Lord Melchizedek and the Ancient of Days and the Most Radiant One, the Lord Christ. That is the vow that we take when we enter into that state of being Christed. And some of you in this graduation period are in that process of being tested to move into levels of Christship. There is the level of coming into conscious contact with your soul. That's one level of Christship. Then there's moving into Christ consciousness or living love. That's another level. Then there's the level of activating the Christ oversoul. That's another level of integration, working from oversoul levels. And then, very rarely, there are some, I believe there will be some, who actually will move into being a Christ. Very, very rare. But this is the first non-sacred planet that has ever produced a Christ from the human life wave. And so, you know, anything can happen on Earth. Earth is a very, very special and precocious child in the universe. Small and insignificant as we may seem to be, we're quite unique and precocious. So, this 26,000-year graduation cycle currently in process, we'll see the matriculation into these various levels of people that are moving into being the Christed ones. And then you radiant spirits will go forth to other worlds as avatars of divine love. Or perhaps you'll return to this one as a bodhisattva or a spiritual traveler. If you're a spiritual traveler and have the keys to soul transcendence, which means that you know how to secure souls on the various levels of consciousness beyond the material and psychic realms, you can work in any level. You can be a traveler that's stationed on the physical plane, the astral plane, the causal plane, the mental plane, the etheric plane. You know, there's no limit. When you're a free soul, you can go forth and serve to your heart's content wherever and whatever. There's all of these various roles and job assignments that you can fulfill in being a co-worker with God. And that's what we do. That's what all of this schooling and experience and developing into compassionate, loving, empathetic beings, that's what it's for. Life is ongoing, it's vital, it's alive, it's ever-moving. It's always progressing to a newer level of greater encompassment and loving embracement and expansion. You know, Sai Baba said, and he wants us to say this too, love is my form. Truth is my breath. Bliss is my food. My life is my message. Expansion is my life. No reason for love, no season for love, no birth, no death. So love is. It doesn't have to have a season or a rhyme or a reason. It simply is. It's never born and it never dies. It simply is. That, capital T, that is forevermore. And you are that. And it's a beautiful, beautiful life to awaken and be born as the Christ, to know that you are the Beloved. You are the one that you have awaited. You are the one in whom you will discover that every single manifestation of God is but that one love, and they all dwell in the temple of your heart. All of the Beloveds are who you are. They all become one. When you get on the top of the pin, the question no longer is how many angels can sit on the top of the pin. You realize there's only been one all along. And there's just, you know, it's just perfect at the top of the pin. So pardon my pun there, but the point I want to make is that, another pun, the point I want to make is that celebrate that everything that you truly long for is real, and everything that looks like it's tormenting you is a passing phenomena. Just let it go by. Don't grab it. Don't hold it. Just release it to love and step free through grace. So let's go out chanting on IQ and just let that loving vibration go out to bless all life everywhere. Breath. Anayu. Anayu. God bless you, and God willing, I'll be with you this time.